is.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
The difference in responsibility on your shoulders from last year to this is night and day. Of what are you most proud of the growth of your game?
I'm just happy to be here. It's a tremendous opportunity to play the sport I love. I got a great group of guys I get to come on the floor with, and our mindset is we don't back down from anybody, Doris. Like, we come here to play.
There's no doubt about that. You will walk into the home arena of a man who's probably the greatest player of his generation. What will be required of your team on the road?
Tremendous focus. He's one of the best players of all time. So it's going to take a lot to slow him down and to win a game. But, you know, if anybody had to put my money on, it'd be this group.
Jaylen Brown. I like that kid. Adult.
Tell you what, they're young guys overall to me. You know, look, they're not all as polished as Brown, but they all show up to work, man. They do, every one of them. Like, you got to admire that about how they've scouted these guys.
We don't back down from anyone, Doris. Come to play. His second year in the league. Kid's 20. He can't even drink. How old is he?
I think he's 21 now. Tatum's 20.
I mean, like, he just sounds so polished and in command, and I like that kid. And you know, it's usually like it's not necessarily their fault, but I mean, so many kids come into that league with just no clue, like clueless, you know, kids who've been coddled and barely went to school and just the whole thing, and just, you know, cocky a-holes. And you can't blame half of it, just the culture that comes up in that sport, it feels like. And Jaylen Brown, ooh.
I tell you what, he's been eye-opening in this series. And look, you know, I started thinking about this too, that whole hamstring thing. I guess it's gone, huh? Like, when that happened, I thought 3 weeks, month. Like, even if it's mild, it's a month. And he was back out there in a game, you know, two games. Like, and then beyond it, the confidence he has now shooting the ball from the outside. Like, to me, that's the game changer with him. He's not afraid to take those.
Okay, back to your phones. Reaction to last night. We're going to mix in some other topics as we go forward today as well. But although, you know, there'll be plenty of this. Dakota and Braintree, what do you got, Dakota?
So before I get to game three, Michael, I have a very important question to ask you. Would you take the team with the star player with LeBron James or Brad Stevens?
I'd still start with LeBron James.
Man, I don't know what it's going to take. You're not officially on the island yet.
So hold on. You take Stevens over LeBron?
Well, the big question was...
No, wait a minute. How come I answer the question directly, quickly, and now you're going to go into some soliloquy? Would you take Stevens over LeBron? You would.
Yes, I'm taking Brad Stevens' team, Celtics, over LeBron. If we were in Cleveland, I'd rather have Brad Stevens in the Celtics than the star player in the Cleveland Cavaliers.
You're sort of changing it. You're an expansion team. Or whatever. You're changing it. You're changing it. I answered the question. I would take LeBron over the coach. I would take LeBron over the coach. Pretty much, I mean...
10 out of 10.
10 out of 10, no matter what kind of team I am, no matter where I am in the country, expansion, whatever. I'm taking the all-time player over the coach. Are you?
And you never used
are you?
Before the expansion.
Are you?
Not an expansion team, Michael. Now you sound...
So it's unbelievable. How come I answer the question directly with a one-word answer and he can't? Because he knows how stupid it is.
Exactly. I know where this call with Dakota is going to. Keep going.
This is your fault, is he still Mike, there? For engaging the callers.
I'm sorry, Dakota. Yeah. Quickly, you have 1 minute. Go.
Oh, my God. Well, anyways, every time your back's up against the wall, you always change the narrative. So now I'll move on to game three. And I tried to toss you guys a nugget, okay, other day before game two. And Maz left.
Okay, so Dakota, now I'm putting you on hold, okay? Because honestly, this is I knew the call was headed in this direction, and this is really, and I'm telling you the honest to God's truth here, this is really starting to bug the crap out of me, how after every game you call and tell us how smart you were.
I have no idea what you're talking about. What is he going to say?
Oh, I know exactly what he's going to say. Go ahead, Dakota.
The other day I called up and I said Tristan Thompson in the starting lineup is going to cause a problem because going big is an issue and they're going to have to keep Baines in the game and probably move Tatum to the bench. And Maz was, like everybody else, just laughing at me. And then yesterday at halftime, I said it again, tweeted it.
It's too much, Dakota.
See, I knew where it was going.
You're too much on a day like this. The Celts are winning too much. They're too good. I just can't take it.
Aaron Baines, right? Aaron Baines comes in, bodies up on Thompson. Tatum goes to the bench. Yeah, I told you, Aaron Baines, they were going to have to make a matchup switch. I knew it was going there.
It felt to me it was more like Greg Monroe, though.
I mean, it's so all of a sudden we get Red Hour back from Braintree calling every other day. Like, it drives me bananas. Like, all right, so you were, but I come back to this. Did Thompson win him the game? He had a nice night.
No, but they're better with him in there.
They are.
Because he's one of the few guys who actually gives a poop, it feels like.
Sometimes.
Well, that's an improvement over most of those guys.
Sometimes. So they're better with him in there, yes. But again, he's not a game changer, though. That's my point.
I'd play him more. I'd play Thompson more.
He's not going to change the series. He's not enough.
So did Thompson come in for Korver? Because that's one thing I do think Lou missed. Why did Korver come off?
I don't know.
Don't you feel like Korver didn't play enough?
Yeah.
It was like in the first half, was there anyone helping LeBron out? Well, there's really only one guy. It was Korver. And then he came out. But then I had someone point out to me today, look at Korver's defensive numbers. The Celts were picking on him on the other end, and it was killing the Cavs, and so Lou has to get him out. So, like,
but that's a guy when he's hot, you want him on the floor.
To me, he felt like the only one else who was playing offensively in that first half next to LeBron was Korver, and then he came out. I'm like, he should be back on the floor. But again, this is why the Celtics are really well constructed. They don't have many guys like Korver who, on one end of the floor, is helping you, but on the other end, you got to cover up for. Like, that's why they're the Celtics.
I mean, they really are only playing seven guys. Celtics, you know? I mean, Monroe trickled into the rotation a little bit last night, but he doesn't play much. It's seven guys, and one of them's Baines.
What's the Cam and Taunton thought of the day? Go ahead, Cam.
Mike, I mean, first of all, you gotta stop taking, you know, Phil Jackson Jr. from Braintree over there. I mean, that guy is mind-numbing to listen to. And second of all, like, I give Van Gundy and Jackson a lot of crap. One thing they're doing that's driving me crazy, why are they kissing the behind of Tyronn Lue?
This is
true.
He's
saying he's one of the best young coaches. The guy is a mannequin. All you needed to see was this. They come out for the fourth quarter. Love, LeBron, and Thompson are all on the bench. Ojale hits a couple free throws, and Monroe makes a layup. They call a timeout quickly. They come back from the timeout, and those three are still on the bench. It's like your three best players are still on the bench while the game is getting out of hand. Why do those guys in Billups keep trying to tell me that Tyronn Lue is one of the best young coaches in the league?
This is a good point. I just gave him credit for telling it like it is with LeBron. They do seem to be pumping Tyronn Lue's tires needlessly. Like, I don't get it.
I think they feel bad for him.
So I was just going to say that. Is he the problem or are they the problem?
Yeah, I don't think Tyronn Lue can coach. I mean, I've seen no indication of it, but he ain't the problem. It's the way it's constructed.
Oh, you're dealt a hand of Rodney Hood and J.R. Smith and the rest of these
losers.
Pukes that he's got to deal with. And Cam was right. I found that stunning. So you have this stretch now between now and basically a week before Game 3. LeBron and Love can't be in the beginning of that fourth quarter. They got to sit down and get a little bit of rest. You have a ton of rest coming up. That lineup they had there for a few minutes at the beginning of the fourth was stunning to me.
The whole team is stunning, frankly. Eastern Conference Finals, and they face a little resistance and just throttle it right down.
I mean, a lot of it spins off of LeBron. I hate to say it, but the coach is powerless when you have that egomaniacal...
Colin in the car. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, guys. So what really struck me after last night, and I'm pulling the lottery picks into this as well, is just how effectively Danny Ainge has destroyed this matchup for the Cavs between taking away Kyrie, who's clearly got balls, and then adding a bunch of tough defensive-minded guys who just are all heart, Aaron Baines, Morris, and then drafting a guy like Tatum, who's a matchup nightmare for those guys trying to cruise all over the edge. It's just like, what happened to the team that's a guaranteed finals matchup every single year? I mean, they're gone. And then if LeBron goes and all they're left is a ninth overall pick, I mean, you're talking about the destruction of the whole franchise in one year because of one trade and one off season. It's insane.
So I don't agree with you. I think Danny pantsed the Philadelphia 76ers on that trade. He didn't really pants the Cavs. I mean, again, Kyrie's not doing anything for you. He's not here. He's once again hurt. And you ended up, well, the pick was only the eighth. It was eight, not nine, I think.
Well, so
right?
I was going to say, look at it from the other side. Did Cleveland get enough for Kyrie?
Probably not, but he was going to leave for nothing anyway. So you got to get something.
So I mean, but the same was true of Paul George in Indiana, and they got Oladipo out of it. Like, you know.
Would you rather have Oladipo or the eighth pick?
Oladipo.
Okay, so we say that now. At the time, we wouldn't have said that.
Yeah, everyone mocked it at the time.
At the time, we're like, Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, but again, you know, we now grade it on what it is.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So, like, I just look at it and I say, I don't think Cleveland got enough for Kyrie.
They may not have. And you took advantage of it, but Kyrie was gone. You know, he wanted out. So he was going to make it miserable there. He was threatening to undergo surgery instead of playing for the team. So would you rather be sitting there with Kyrie Irving on the bench with a knee brace or the eighth overall pick?
Eighth overall pick.
Like, so, I mean, like, I just think they were in a bad... I don't think Danny really affected that. And the thing with Baines and Morris, I mean, it's true, but are Baines and Morris even on this team next year? You're going to find two other guys to sort of do that next year.
Well, Morris will be. He's signed still. So Morris will say Baines is up.
Is Morris going to be on this team next year, Jimmy Stewart?
Oh, you're talking about trade.
Maybe.
He's probably not going to be on this team next year.
Just, I mean, he's an expendable piece, if that's what you're getting at.
I mean, all I'm saying is...
I think that with a year left on his deal at good money, there's good value to move that player.
Okay, so I don't think Morris is going to be here. All I'm saying is... Danny's pantsed a lot of people in the league. I think Cleveland was being dismantled one way or the other. It's not like you went in there and blew the thing up. It was on the, you know, it's been crumbling and it was going to crumble either way.
No, you know who blew it up? LeBron.
Of course, yes.
LeBron blew it up. The reason Kyrie wanted out is because LeBron's a pain in the ass.
Correctamundo.
That's why. So LeBron blew it up. They gave him everything he wanted. He blew it up and he's going to leave. He's going to leave it in ruin, just like he did the first time.
Okay, we continue with your calls. Give you a Red Sox minute coming up next. I still can't get over that injury they suffered yesterday. That is a humdinger. That's an all-timer, the injury they suffered yesterday. Oh, and they lost again. Quick Red Sox talk coming up right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm not expecting him back in 10 days by any means at this point. We'll see how severe it ends up being, but it's got the potential of being a major injury.
I'm disappointed, just like him. We talked about it last night, talk about it today. What can I say? You know, people get frustrated. He knows, you know, it's a freak accident, let's be honest. He's not the first guy that slams a glove or throws a bat or punches himself. But it is what it is. We have to move on.
You can ask Joe Kelly. I throw my glove every day. Playing catch with him. That's part of my warm-up routine is I go through my throwing motion, throw my glove. Actually, usually hold on to it. Sometimes I accidentally release it. I think it's a freak accident. I mean, I think fatigue played a factor in my shoulder, and my shoulders couldn't handle it. I think my shoulder's tired in general. Yeah, it's just from pitching. I mean, I've thrown a lot lately, and I think my arm is just tired.
Oh, God. Oh, that's so bad. Real quick Red Sox minute. That's Carson Smith. You heard from the principals. Dombrowski, Cora, Carson Smith. Carson Smith, one of your eighth inning guys, one of your bullpen guys. It's a struggling unit, but, you know, he's one of the important guys you have out there. Separated his shoulder.
Keep going.
Separated his shoulder the other night. Chucking his glove in disgust after he gave up a home run. And might be gone for a long time. He's on the 10-day DL. Dombrowski said he doesn't expect him back within 10 days, and it may be major.
Right, has a chance to be a major injury.
Meaning, bye-bye for the season because he threw his glove after giving up a home run. And when asked about it, this jackwagon says, you can ask Joe Kelly. I throw my glove in warm-up every day. You just heard the cut. You can go ask Joe Kelly. I can go ask Joe Kelly.
Yeah, you know, Joe Kelly knows. He's got all the answers.
So it's like... All of a sudden, oh, well, Joe Kelly says so, then I guess that's, well, fine, no problem. If Joe Kelly says so, then no issue.
I mean, the two people that you should ask everything for an explanation are Joe Kelly and Dakota and Braintree. Seriously, because they will just totally illustrate the whole thing for you.
You can go ask Joe Kelly. I throw my glove and warm up every day playing catch with him. That's part of my warm-up routine, is I go through my throwing motion. I throw my glove. Actually, I usually hold on to it. Sometimes I accidentally release it. What?
How do you pose that question to Joe Kelly, too? Hey, Joe, is Carson Smith a bit of a bitch?
Ay, ay, ay. And then he starts blaming, what, the amount of innings he's been pitching recently?
Yeah, right. He's been working a lot lately. He's getting fatigued.
So Monday when he gave up the home run, that was the fifth time in 7 days that Smith had worked. And he suggested that how he has been used recently contributed to the injury.
Wear and tear. Maz, you've been around baseball most of your life. When does the baseball season start?
It starts in April.
What month are we in?
We're in the middle of May.
Wow. Huh. And he's already feeling fatigued, Carson Smith.
Huh. He is. He's worn out, Murray.
Damn.
He's
what
grinding.
What a life.
He's on fumes, pal. He's already he is. He's on fumes.
To the point where he can't put his glove down after an inning without separating his shoulder. What a loser.
Yeah, no, I love that whole, it's part of my warm-up routine, you know, the thing with the glove. I hold the glove in my hand and I simulate a throwing motion. Uh-huh. Do you whip your glove when you do that? Do you, like, chuck it against a wall? Is that what you do?
So you just, again.
Oh, like, what? This explains to me why he can't pitch in the late innings or in the eighth inning. But go ahead.
No, but we've been asking, is this Red Sox team any, you know, really any different? And it's hard to know. It's hard to believe it is when crap like this happens. Oh, by the way, they allowed a couple more runs in the eighth last night, didn't they?
Yep.
So now they're using Stephen Wright, the knuckleballer, in the eighth?
Apparently.
We can chuck the ball all over the field? We walk two guys?
Stephen Wright and Bobby Pointer.
Allowed two more runs in the eighth. The Red Sox now rank 26th in Major League Baseball in eighth inning ERA. After last night, it's now 4.93, almost a 5 ERA in the eighth inning. And this bozo throws out his shoulder, chucking his glove in the dugout. Oy vey. You got to be kidding me. All right, so Sox lose again. Now a full game behind New York. Their game was delayed.
Right, so they're only a half game behind. The Yankees will finish that today at 5 o'clock and then play the other one.
Okay, what else? Blake Swihart has requested a trade. Your thoughts on that?
So I'm with the player on this one. I think they've jerked this kid around six ways to Sunday. From the day he got to the big leagues, for crying out loud, they have done nothing but yank him around. So look, I know you can look at it and say, who the hell are you to ask for a trade? And you know what? If I were him, I'd do the same thing. They've buried me here. They've jerked me around. They've screwed up my career. I was a first-round draft pick. I had great potential. I showed that I could hit when I came up to the big leagues my first year. And all they've done is mismanage me and screw me up. I don't blame him. I think he's right. Now, I don't know if they're going to accommodate him. I'd be surprised if they did. Ultimately, they will. But I'd be surprised if they do it now. I think they're going to trade him probably, you know, at the deadline, clearly, because they're not going to play him. They don't value him as a player. They're just burying him on the roster because they couldn't send him down to the minor leagues. So I look at it with I'm 100% with Swihart on this one. They've screwed this kid. They've screwed him and they've screwed him up, which is the second of which is actually worse. It's one thing if you screw a kid over in terms of playing time and, you know, ultimately he deserves an opportunity and doesn't get one. It's another thing if you derail his career, which they've done. They've screwed him up. Like, this one to me is 100% on them. 100%.
All right, you want to weigh in on the Red Sox, those items, or anything else? By all means, you can give us a jingle. Obviously, we're full, but you can jump on as people jump off. Right back to it. Here's Steve in New Hampshire on the Celts. Hi, Steve.
Hey, guys. Two quick things, and then I'll jump off and listen. The first is, I haven't watched the Cavaliers much outside of this series, but I got to tell you, every time I see Kevin Love play, I just thank God that we dodged that bullet. That guy is pathetic. The second thing I was just curious your thoughts on, no doubt that the defense and the coaching has gotten the Celtics as far as they have. Are the Celtics in the same position they're in right now with Kyrie Irving, being that his defense is not quite on par with what we've seen from some of these other guys?
So you're saying they might be better without Kyrie Irving? And that's the implication of that question. Would they be in the exact same spot if Kyrie Irving were on the floor?
Yes.
Yep, and you would have beat the Bucks in five games. Yep, you'd be exactly where you are, except you would have had to play fewer games to get here. But you'd be exactly where you'd be better.
See, I think so, too. They'd be different, but I mean, they'd be better.
How much better, defensively, is Terry Rozier than Kyrie Irving?
Not that much.
It's roughly the same.
Yeah, not that much. I mean, Rozier, to me, is more active than Irving is, you know, with his hands. And I mean,
no, he's better, but how much?
Yeah, but not. It's not like he's 6'6". And all of a sudden creates some sort of mismatch problem for you. I mean, he doesn't do that. So let's not get stupid about this. I mean, Kyrie is one of the truly elite offensive players in that league.
And Kevin Love, last night's not the game to complain about Kevin Love. He actually was representative last night. I thought on all ends of the floor. I thought he rebounded, he scored, Kevin Love wasn't the issue. But it is good to just remind yourself, you could get a little carried away, Green Teamer, that there is some luck involved in this thing, because Danny's first plan was to pair Kevin Love with Rajon Rondo.
Scary.
Okay, so just remember that was the first idea. Is that before the Brooklyn trade or right after?
So, I mean, no, it was after.
You still would have had your picks, but they were wooing Kevin Love pretty good, and this is still why you had Rajon Rondo. because Danny still wanted to piece together some veterans with Rondo while those pack, you know, before those picks came in. And who knows what that would have done to your team, etc. Whatever. Danny wanted Rondo and Love, and Love didn't want you. So just remember, there's some good fortune as well in all this.
I mean, Love had 15 rebounds last night.
He was good. He was fine.
He was good in that game.
He won the issue. Sandy in North Andover. Go ahead, Sandy.
Hi, how you doing? I don't want to get into a whole bunch about LeBron. I think he had some errors in there, lost the ball out of bounds, didn't go right to the hoop, and he still scored 42, so I'll give him credit. But I think he looks very tired. But I'm not counting him out, even though I'm a green teamer. But the main reason why I called is because of Smith. I know everybody's been talking about him. I always call him Dirty Smith. But he really makes me nervous because he's done this before multiple times with Crowder. He did it to his leg. And he blatantly pushed, Horford, sorry. I was getting nervous on the phone here.
Okay.
On the television. he blatantly did that to knock our best player or one of our top players out of the game.
So let me just stop you there, Sandy, because we're up against it. That was a dirty, dirty play.
It was. That guy's a bum.
What do you expect from a guy who threw a cup of soup or a bowl of soup at one of his coaches this year? He's a loser.
Oh, what a loser.
I forgot about that.
What a loser he is. But just in terms of that play, I'm surprised. He should have been ejected.
That should have been flagrant, too.
Should have been a flagrant, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he should have been tossed. And the one thing I will say I give him credit for, he acknowledged today that it was a cheap, dirty play.
Oh, he did?
Yep. And he said, you know, I absolutely pushed him as a dirty play. So at least it showed up on my phone.
The best part is Horford's response. He was possessed for the next couple of possessions. It was tremendous to see. You know, you usually see a mild-mannered guy sort of not quite lose it, but sort of you get that fire. I mean, that was the way Horford responded was the best part of the whole thing. We'll pick this up on the other side right after Murray's update.
Felger and Maz. Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Crowd coming to life.
Celtics can go up by 10. Smart lob. Horford catches and got fouled, pushed in the back by J.R. Smith.
Oh.
And now we got more trouble. Terry Rozier wants a piece of J.R. Smith after the cheap shot.
It actually was
Smart was in
Smart
it.
And Rozier
tried to step in between them. And they're going to have to look at all this.
Well, what they need to look at is a push in from J.R. Smith.
Right.
He's frustrated.
Al Horford is standing up, kind of walking around. Jay Larinaga comes to get Marcus Smart, and Phil Lynch, Celtics Director of Security, kind of yanking Marcus Smart out of any trouble here. This all comes with the Celtics leading by 8 and 3:49 to go. Al Horford is standing, but he has his left arm holding that small of the back, which anyone has ever had a back thing happen. Marcus Smart is fire right now.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you got to look at this.
They will.
They
told both teams to go back to the benches. It was the lob play. Horford went up. It was a two-hand shove in the back, which they could very easily call a flagrant one.
He got the one. It should have been a two.
Should have been a two. He should have been tossed.
And it's just come out, Murray, just in the last 10 minutes, that what?
Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, tweeting, the NBA will not discipline J.R. Smith for that foul on Al Horford in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's how someone gets hurt. Like, that's a real dangerous play. That, to me, that's much more dangerous than some of this nonsense you get with these flagrants with, you know, guy goes to the rim and you hit him in the elbow, you know, your elbow hits him in the head or something
like
that.
Right, like the chop over the top
like
that.
That's how you really hurt somebody.
Sure. Maybe this is the first sign the league intervention to step into the series and make sure.
Oh, why are you encouraging Mike and Attleboro and the rest of them now?
I'm just.
Is J.R. Smith really that? What was J.R. last night?
He had no points.
He had a zero last night. He was 0 for 7.
0 for 7. So you're saying J.R. Smith's 0 for 7?
Well, I take it back. He's 0 for 7 from 3-point lead for the series, I believe.
And he's 0 for 7 from the game last night.
There you go.
He was 0 for. 0
he
for.
Was so bad.
Zeros across
so
the board.
Bad.
Zeros. Suck, and suck.
But I don't know if they can sit him, though. I think he has to be part of their starting five. You know, you're going to put in Rodney Hood, who's like a weaker Jeff Green. That guy just seems content to like stand out there and have his hands on his hips.
But I'm telling you, there is no match for Jeff Green. There is nobody like this in pro sports. I mean, that is a dog's dog. I once made the joke. Yeah, it's kind of heartless because I guess he had a heart condition. And when he was a Celtic, you know, they said that he went in for a heart procedure. I said, what, are they going to install one?
That's a good line.
Folks at Comcast didn't like it. They weren't thrilled with that one. But now that he's on that, now that he's another team, you know, we can do it. What a gutless loser, Jeff Green. He is offensive to watch. Just his body language. Is there worse body language? Like, he gets beat by a half step. That's it. Steps up. Stands up. He's just, oh my God, he's so bad. And not just bad, but just zero, zero, zero effort.
So last night, by the way, for Smith, just to finish the thought, was the third time this postseason he's gone scoreless. He's a shooter. That's all he is. He's a shooter. He's gone scoreless three times.
Okay, but J.R. Smith should have been tossed from the game last night, and I would not have been opposed to the league suspending him for a game. That was a dangerous, dangerous play. That's how you hurt somebody.
Sure.
But again, Horford's response was tremendous. Tremendous little fire in the belly that he got right after that was great. And shows why you're you and they're them, frankly. All right, back to your phones. Al and Lowell. Al, what do you got?
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I loved Marcus Smart's response to that, too. What a Celtic. This guy, I think he's going to remain a Celtic. He's going to take a discount to stay here. We need him. He wants to raise banners.
How do you know? So how do you know those two pieces? That he'll take less because he just wants to raise banners. How do you know that?
You can tell. This guy is a competitor.
Tell how. Wait. Tell how. Well, of course, but don't you think he wants to get paid, too?
He does, and he will. We'll pay him like 9 to 10 mil. I mean, that's a lot of money still. He can 12. Take care of all his family, everything. Well, he wants to be a Celtic.
Al.
This crowd
Al,
is incredible. Yeah.
I hate to break it to you, I know you can slowly put your pants back on now for a second.
They've been off all night.
They tried. He didn't take their offer. They tried to sign him in the offseason, and he wouldn't sign.
Yeah, but he's been worse than he was in the preseason, actually. He was draining threes and everything. He lost the weight. He looked a lot better.
I see what you're saying. His crappy year is going to get you for a better price.
And punching the window and everything. Yeah. There's a lot to it. And he works on the Celtics, and that brings out the best in him.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, look, I'm a big believer in what Marcus Smart brings to your team. I think he's a tremendous role piece, all of these things.
Yeah, he wants to stay. He wants to hang banners, man. That's all he wants.
I'm sure he wants to hang banners, but most of the guys want to hang banners and make as much as they can make, and I don't blame him one bit. So what kind of discount is Marcus Smart going to give you?
Not much. And when you ask him, how do you know that? You can just tell, man.
You can just tell. I'm telling you, he had one of those. After he punched that window and hurt his hand, what do you call that? He had an epiphany. He wants to be a Celtic for a discount.
Well, yeah. No, look, it's impossible to not look at him last night and not love him, though.
I mean,
he's like their Draymond.
You could see it. Exactly. You've seen it any time you watch the Celtics. He's doing crap like that. And he drained a three, of course. So the fact, how much does his offense hurt you versus the winning plays that he makes? And I think that the winning plays outweigh by a wide margin his crappy shot.
I mean, wasn't he the highest plus-minus guy in the game last night?
I can find that. Yeah, I mean, he usually is. He was a plus 21. That's a ledger team.
I mean, so that should tell you plenty.
By a lot, actually.
It was that kind of game.
He does continue to amaze me, though, how he throws his body around like a damn football player. That's a hard floor, man. Like, that ain't soft grass you're landing on.
No, he is, like, genuinely tough.
Here's Adam in North Reading on the Red Sox. Hi, Adam.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So I was just going to talk about, I've heard a lot of talk about how they're, like, it's just the same old from the Red Sox, you know, like now Carson Smith's coming out injuring himself and just how they seem to have just a toxic culture and no direction. And I think that really stems from the 2011 collapse, September 28th. I think they never really truly recovered from that. Chicken and beer with John Lester and Lackey, firing Francona, and then, you know, bringing in Bobby V and just everything that happened after that, except for 2013. I think it's all stems from that. I just don't think they ever really found, they never found their way again. And
okay, let me stop you because Mass is already shaking his head.
See, because I think they purged that team. They did. They wiped out the key guys. They won it in 2013.
But I actually agree with this guy.
See, but to me, it's about this group now.
It's about the way the owner coddles the players.
Yeah, I'm going back to the players now. I'm sorry. To me, this is more about Betts, Bogarts, you know, Bradley, even Benintendi. I look at all these guys, and I feel like what have they won? Bogarts was on that team in 2013, but they act like they've accomplished something and that they can just show up in October and win. And they feel like the classic, you know, paper tiger to me that shows up in October and gets its ass kicked.
I don't know. Carson Smith does that. You're paying him millions of dollars. and he throws his shoulder out, tossing his glove after giving up a home run. And Cora and Dombrowski are like, "No, there's no discipline. It happens." I don't know. Well, I mean, why is an organization we just come out and say, "Nope, that ain't cool. That ain't good. Nope, not good at all. We don't support him for this." I mean, but they'll never do it. I think that comes from the top.
So maybe, but that same top won. Like, they won for a number of years. So, to me, there was a problem in the clubhouse in 2011, but they did recover from it. They blew out all the people that needed to be blown out. They won it in 2013, which was a fluke, and then they reset with these young guys. I'm not letting these young guys off the hook. I'm sorry, I'm not.
When we come back, more of the Celtics gooning it up, according to Tyronn Lue, right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Morris, right-hand escape dribble, now has Thompson on him on a switch. Morris drives right side, past him, scores it on the foul. And Marcus Morris screaming into the face of Tristan Thompson.
And you know what, you always scream when your brother's standing right there behind you. Like, what you going to do now? My brother's right behind me.
And Tristan Thompson now trying to cause more trouble. He wants a piece of Morris after the play has settled down. And it didn't take long for this thing to get tested. They are still jawing at each other. Tristan Thompson. His mouth is going a mile a minute right now. Marcus Morris has kind of calmed down.
And Al Horford bringing the crowd back to life. As soon as you think you've seen everything until you get into a cauldron, then it gets so hot.
Marcus Morris will try to tie it with a free throw. Going to get that heart rate back down. He does. It bounces in. 5:13 to go. Third quarter of game two. The tie score is 69.
We got to be tougher. You know, I think they're playing tougher than we are. We see that. They're being physical. They're gooning the game up, and we got to do the same thing. So we got to be tougher mentally and physically.
All right, so there's that Marcus Morris play where he screams bloody murder in the face of Tristan Thompson. Ty Lue, Cavaliers coach, after says they're gooning it up. We got to do the same. Your thoughts, Murray?
I had forgot about that until we were just playing that audio. I loved that, too, because, you know, Morris is one of the badasses on this team, and I think that's one of his better attributes. And I would be willing to bet that what he said to Tristan Thompson most certainly had to do with the fact that he just cheated on his pregnant wife.
We know that?
I mean, that's all over the place. You read any of the rags from People to Us magazine. I mean, come on, get with it, Felger.
I'm not with it.
Yeah, he was, you know, he's with Khloe Kardashian, and it's come out, and he's admitted it, and he's got
Tristan
caught.
Thompson is with Khloe Kardashian?
Yeah, yeah. They just had their first kid together, but he got caught cheating on her.
Was that the one who was with Lamar Odom?
That I can't remember, but either way.
That is true, yes.
Okay. Thank you. So now she's on to Tristan Thompson.
Okay, so on to Tristan Thompson. He cheated with some assy Instagram model, gets caught.
Is there any other kind?
Really, there isn't. So I have to think, with this, as quick as Thompson's fuse was lit, and Morris is he likes to play a little bit dirty. There's no way he didn't say something along the lines of, like, "You cheating ass," or something, you know, like cheating on a pregnant woman, something like that.
No, I bet you it was worse than that.
Well, yeah. I'd like to say, I can't because of FCC regulations.
Yeah, I'm thinking more of like Kevin Garnett and Carmelo.
Right, the Cheerios thing.
Yeah. Honey Nut Cheerios. All right, so does Cleveland try and match that? Should the Celtics go down that road with them?
Sure.
Just your thoughts on that whole thing.
Well, Cleveland's got to get tougher. There's no two ways about that. Like, I think
who's going to on that team, though?
Well, LeBron can, for starters. Like, LeBron can play.
That's obvious, but besides him.
And Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, Thompson, to me, plays tough generally as is. But LeBron's the big one to me, because I think a lot of the others will give more effort and play a little more physically. Even Love can play more physically.
I can't believe you just said that with a straight face.
No, as I said it, I started laughing, Murray. I did. I admit it. I didn't believe the words as they were coming out of my mouth. I didn't. But if I'm the Celtics, why are you afraid of that? I wouldn't be afraid of that. I would welcome it, because the Celtics will win that.
I just want to go too far with the nonsense, because you don't really need the nonsense. Cleveland needs the nonsense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but when I say
you don't really need the nonsense.
No,
at this
juncture. But I'm not saying do anything stupid or illegal. I'm just saying get tougher and compete. Like, I think Lue got it half right. We've got to get tougher. How are the Celtics really, quote unquote, gooning it up?
They're not. that Marcus Morris thing was about as, you know, as close as it gets, but that wasn't even goony. It was just goofy.
I mean, it's not like they're the, you know, the Knicks or the of Charles Oakley days or the Pistons. Like, they're not like that.
The only goony play was J.R. Smith on Al Horford. All right, back to your phones on everything you've been waiting patiently. Dale in Maine brings us back. Hi, Dale.
It's Eddie.
I'm sorry, Eddie in Maine. Go ahead, Eddie.
Eddie in Framingham, Mass.
Okay, Eddie in Framingham.
Don't mix me up with them crazies.
Okay.
I wrote down my question. Anyway, the tape of you guys playing the announcers, that was absolutely tape gold. Loved it.
Okay.
LeBron missing his first five free throws of the game. Wondering if that maybe sent a message to the rest of his team. You know, he's already off. You know, if that played into it at all.
So let me just stop you there. No. He's not that great a free throw shooter, is what that is. He's not that great a free throw shooter. And I think just the opposite. I think what happened is LeBron showed up, did his thing offensively. Again, defensively, he's not the same guy. And he hurt them defensively, but offensively, he asserted himself, took the game over, gave them a big lead, and I think the Cavs thought, oh, here we go. LeBron came in, did his thing, we got a big lead, we've been here a million times before, no issue. See you at the end of the game. 1-1, heading back to Cleveland. And then they look up at the scoreboard going into the half, and it's 7. And then they look up to the scoreboard a couple minutes into the third, and it's 4 or 2, and they're like, oh, you mean the other team's not just laying down when LeBron shoves it in his face? Oh, we actually got a play for 48 and grind this out? No, thank you. So that's how I think the game went.
Well, and you know, once the Celtics got the lead, too, you could almost feel the air come out of the Cavs.
I think the Cavs were ready to do the LeBron thing and just coast to victory like they're used to doing, and the Celts would. That was the key to the whole game. That when LeBron was going for 21 in the first quarter and whatever it was, Jaylen Brown was hitting his shots, the Celts were still hitting their shots, and it was never, you know, it was still always within sight. It was never worse than 12 or 14, something like that.
No, I think that's right, yeah.
And so it, like,
in fact, it might have been 11.
Whatever it was, the lead was never really that prodigious. And that's because I think a big part of it is that LeBron wasn't playing defense. And Jaylen Brown was doing most of the matching early. But that was, the Celts didn't go away. And when the Cavs realized there was a dogfight, they weren't ready for it.
See, sometimes with LeBron, like, the standard for him is so high. And I'm criticizing myself here for it. I mean, he was awesome in the first quarter. I still didn't love the way he was getting his points. And when I say that, I mean, he's out there chucking up threes.
Well, you're right.
He took 11 threes in the game. And that's not his strength. That's not his game. So, I don't know if that is that he looks at it and says, they're going to give it to me, I have to take it. Or I don't want to go in there because I'm going to get slammed around and it's going to be a long series. Like, I don't know what it is. But he's taking too many threes. He's got to go to the basket.
Matt Nada, go ahead.
Michael, give me a second to articulate this. Generally speaking, you guys have, both you and Tony have, and others on your show, have suggested that the coach only goes so far, especially with respect to Brad Stevens. You use the term Brad bots with people who praise him, et cetera, et cetera. I'm almost 70, so I've seen a lot of Celtics and other NBA coaches. When Kyrie Irving went down, you guys pretty much said, look, you know, if they get through the first round, they'll be doing well. Now all of a sudden they're on the verge of going to the finals. I look at the team. Look, I know everybody in the NBA is a good basketball player, but there's good and there's good, and what how well they perform tends to be a function of a lot of variables.
So, Matt, please, we need the point. We're at the top of the hour.
All right. The point is that I don't think anybody is getting out of these guys, the guys that remain, anybody is getting the performance out of these guys that Brad Stevens would. Not Doc Rivers, not
Matt,
Tommy Hines, or not anybody.
I agree with
I'll
you.
I'll listen.
I agree with you. And you know what? Thank you for... And that's an authentic train whistle that Murray bought in New Hampshire. It's actually a train whistle. Unbelievable.
It's all aboard the Seas train, everyone.
Well, you know what?
I love that.
At least I appreciate Matt. He accurately reflected everything that we said. Like, he didn't... Like, that's exactly what we said, that there was a ceiling on Brad Stevens, and when Kyrie went down, it was pretty much over, and all that. True, 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 and true. And that there's a limit to what a coach can do. True, 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 and true. I still believe that. And I've never disputed that Brad Stevens is the best coach in the game. You don't call him the best coach in the game? Fine with me. no problem. There's still a ceiling. But if you want to tell me there's no one who could get more out of this team than Stevens, I agree. I'm not going to argue with you.
He might be right about that. Yeah,
all aboard.
Now, look, I do feel that there was a little misrepresentation in there. I think we said they should still be able to get through one round. I think we said that. Now, the second round was debatable, but at the beginning,
Do you think they would be in command of the East Finals to the point where we're probably going to be in Oakland next week?
No. Nope, I did not. But I did say they got a good draw in the bracket, and I can see them getting to the conference final again.
Either way, I stopped fighting on the Stevens thing a long time ago. I'm a Brad bot, so I don't know what, you know, Matt, maybe you haven't heard recently, but I'm the converted.
Yeah, so you pulled the J.R. Smith. You quit.
I did. Yeah. I did. I quit.
I'm digging in.
There's no question. I gave up.
I'm not giving in yet.
I give up.
Here's not me.
Murray's update, 90 seconds, no commercials, and we're right back with you.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.